his captain. His face was worried, mouth working nervously as he peered out over the bow toward the maelstrom of spray where the whales were broaching, visible now from the deck, in the direction of the looming menace of the storm.
Captain?
What is it, Mr. Mate?
There's a bad squall yonder.
I see it.
We, Lore and Hunt, then the whaleboats will be in peril.
Aye, Mr. Ogg, what of it?
Ryan noticed her right hand was creeping down to touch the shining wood of the heavy belaying pin, but her face betrayed no emotion.
Dost thou not think it a danger, Captain?
Aye. Our lives are danger, Cyrus Ogg. Who knows when infinity will strike us down and pluck us to the bosom of Abraham?
Truly, but I think it would be safer and better to haul off for 3 hours or so. The whales will not move far.
Ah, thou dost think, dost thou? It would be safer and better. I think not.
The mate didn't move, balanced against the increased rocking of the ship, hands at his side, licking his lips. Yehu stood next to Ryan, and he began to patter a kind of prayer.
Save him.
Thou still dost stand to argue with me, Cyrus Ogg. Dost thou?
The storm will take the Tories under.
That storm?
She pointed with her left hand ahead of the ship. The mate followed her finger, staring toward the silver-slashed murk, and Piriquat hit him. The belaying pin was more than a foot long, tapering down from the thickness of a child's wrist, and was made of ironwood. She smashed the heavy end into Ogg's mouth, knocking him clean off his feet. Blood poured from the crushed lips, and the man rolled over, struggling to rise, spitting out shards of crimsoned bone, shaking his head like a steer under the poleaxe. Captain Quad stood and looked down at him.
Get blood on my boots, Mr. Ogg, and thou shalt lick it off. Go forward and obey my orders. Now!
With a great effort, the first mate managed to stand, eyes glazed with shock. He tugged a dark blue kerchief from his pocket and stuffed it against his smashed mouth. At that moment, second mate Walsh came running aft, pausing as he saw the tableau and the spreading pool of blood.
What's thy business, mister?
The captain caressed the long, blunt club. She frowned down at it, then picked away a jagged piece of one of Ogg's front teeth from the tough wood.
Thou hast not come to tell me that the sea is rough and the sky's dark, or some other milksop tosswater whining, hast thou?
No, I was...
Words failed him, and he stood miserably head down.
Next man crosses me takes the place of Outlander Carter tonight.
She grinned wolfishly at Ryan.
Think on that. Mr. Walsh, I think thou had come to tell me thy boat should be the first into the water for the chase, didst thou not?
No.
What?
She lifted the club to her shoulder, making the man step hurriedly away from her.
Wouldst thou kiss the bottom of this ship from side to side and stern to stern, Mr. Walsh?
No, ma'am. I mean that I wanted to get thee to allow my whaleboat to be the first to the water.
She smiled at that, her little eyes glinting with a perverse pleasure.
Then thou shalt, and Outlander Carter's place tonight to pleasure with me is still snug and safe.
The crew was sent to reef. Flynn explained to Ryan that the greatest danger to a sailor was to get caught by such a storm on a lee coast, trapped there without enough sea room to work her way clear. The sighting of the pot of whales had been less than a half mile from the rocky shore, near the heart of the raging Kem squall.
I swear it will be a close-run thing. The clouds stoop and kiss the waves. They race upon us. It was always said that Piriquat would chase a right whale into the very jaws of Satan himself. Now she will prove that, and take every man of the salvation with her.
Donfo blinked spray from his deep-set eyes.
Why not stop her?
Why not place thy pagan head between the jaws of a great white and bid it to be gentle with thee?
The lookout reported that the great pot of whales had vanished in the shifting murk of the Chemstorm. But that news did nothing to check the woman and her wild lust to hunt and to butcher, whatever the cost. Groping claws of blackness stretched clear across the sky, with a few shreds of vivid cobalt blue trapped and shrinking between them.
Bomba Dovets! Mr. Walsh, to lower away fast!
Ryan stood, hands on the ropes, ready to begin the launching of the whaleboat. Each wave snarled higher, white-topped. He glanced around, but his horizon was limited by the waves of the raging ocean. a gray-green, obliterating the land, hiding the tumbling whales ahead of them, hiding the masts of the ship that had been shadowing them. That ship had been completely forgotten in the thrill of the gale and the excitement of the chase to come. Og, kerchief still held to his bleeding mouth, was at Ryan's side, ready to give the orders. Walsh, face pale as a winding sheet, was already at the tiller, his crew climbing slowly and fearfully to their places.
I fear it would mean good sailors going to a chilling.
The wind tore at Ryan's clothes, and the salt spray soaked him clear to the skin. The ocean boiled with the fury of the storm. Yet so great was the fear of Pyrrha Quad that not a single man raised a voice against her orders to launch the frail whaleboat into the howling inferno.
We'll be on the lee shore in minutes at this rate.
Ryan had rarely seen such a ferocious camp storm. Up in the darks, there were winds that would tear through the steep valleys and rip the land away from the bedrock. Some of the hot spots in the west and southwest of the Deathlands were the birthing places for dreadful hurricanes, whipping up nuke fire from the missile pits, bringing the bonesick death to anyone unlucky enough to be caught out in them. He'd been locked safe in a massive war wag and felt it rock and vibrate with the force of winds, had found its painted metal wiped clear by the shredding sands. But he'd never faced such a storm, with only a single layer of fragile wood between him and the plunging death.
Lower!
The Phoenix had lain off from the shore, avoiding the worst of the storm. But even on the fringes, it was a terrifying experience. Jack was hanging onto the shrouds, throwing up over the side. His other hand clutched the butt of his heavy magnum pistol. Captain Deacon had taken the wheel himself, with Doc standing in the steering cabin with him. There were two lookouts in the crosstrees, lashed there for safety, and two extra men in the eyes of the ship, peering through the murk.
She is crazed. They say she goes after the pod of whales we sighted. They were within a league or less of the rocks, and she goes grinning to perdition. I fear thy friends are likely doomed, Dr. Tanner.
Doc clung to the rail around the shelter, as though his life and his reason depended upon it.
And the second of the angels poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea.
Book of the Revelations, Doctor. Know it right well.
It spoke truly of the day of judgment. Day of sky dark and long winter. The good book talks about that. A mighty earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood. The stars of heaven fell to earth. The great men, the captains, the kings, the rich, the successful, the military, the powerful and the poor, all of them departed. That was a great cleansing, Captain Deacon. A great cleansing.
The whaling skipper said nothing, concentrating on holding his course, keeping sea room, away from the eye of the storm, where he knew the salvation had vanished. The rope strained in the blocks as the crew lowered the first of the whaleboats to the sea. Normally, each crew would lower for itself, but the water was far too rough for that. Long before they actually reached the end of the rope, the tops of the waves were snarling around the flanks of the dory.